Good to you. Let's give him praise and magnify him. If you love what he's doing in your life, go ahead and just love on him a little bit and bless his name. What a good God. How worthy, how worthy, how worthy. Praise God. There's so many really good things happening right now in the kingdom of God. It's a great day to be alive in the house and in the kingdom. And the prophecy's coming to pass on every hand. And truly, we are those upon whom the end of times have come. And we're excited about that. Now, that may sound kind of counterintuitive, but we're excited to live in these days. These are going to be heady days of prophecy and prophetic fulfillment, but they're also going to be heady days of revival. Men and women are hungry. There are more people filled with the Holy Ghost right now on the face of the earth than ever before in recorded history. It's a great time to be a part of the church of the living God. And I believe that God has chosen you. You are strategically located and filled with his spirit. And God's going to use you in these last days. Do you have a feeling about that? Is God dealing with you and speaking to you and drawing you? We love and appreciate Brother and Sister Prado. We're so glad that he's here in the house with us today and tonight. And we're looking forward to the Word of God. He's fresh back from Cuba. And there's a burgeoning apostolic church going on there. And excited about that and want to hear a little bit about what God's doing down there from him. But I want you to just tell us whatever the Holy Ghost has laid on your heart today. Would you extend your hand toward him and pray for him and Sister Prado as he comes?
Amen. Let's give Jesus a great big hand clap of praise. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to go to the book of John, chapter 3, very familiar territory. And I arrived from, as you're going there, I'll just, amen, just testify a little bit. Just arrived back from Cuba. I left on Monday, got there Tuesday. We kind of goofed around on Monday, and then we got down to business on Tuesday, and right away God just really started moving and doing a very special work. Our very first service, God filled 18 people with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then we had a second service. We had a service in a very small house, maybe 10 feet by 10 feet, and the whole neighborhood came out. I mean, people were surrounding the house, and God filled 22 people with the Holy Ghost on that night. And there was people standing outside of the house, outside, and they were speaking in tongues. And then we had our last service Friday night. And God filled 26 people full of the Holy Ghost. And when I tell you that, I am only giving you the numbers of actual people that we could count. I am only giving you the number of people we could count. There were some services where there were so many people getting the Holy Ghost, we could not keep up with it. And I'm Latino. I don't know if you've noticed, but I am Latino. So for me, it's a very odd thing to find a Latino that is either not or has not been a Catholic. But when you go to Cuba, religion has been blunted, if not totally smothered out. And the laws are relaxing now. And so we would be walking down the street and I would find Cubans or Latinos. I'd find people reading their Bible. There's only two genres of books in Cuba. Books on Fidel and Che Guevara and a Bible. That's all you get. And so I'd find people reading the Bible. They are told from first grade to ninth grade that they are atheists. And so I'd find people reading the Bible, and I'd think, well, here's a Latino reading the Bible. He's probably Catholic. And I would say, are you a Christian of some kind? And they'd say, no, I'm an atheist. And, well, then why are you reading the Bible? And they'd say, I don't know, but I feel something tell me to read this book. And we'd walk through the hotels one night, and I'm almost done. We were walking through the hotel one night, And there was one sister with us from Canada, from Brother King's church. And this lady saw her and she said, I've seen you and these three men walking around the church. It was her husband and two other preachers, myself and another guy. And she said, but I feel something from you. She said, what are you? And she said, well, I'm a Christian. And she began to try to explain. And she said, well, I'm an atheist, but I feel something inside of me telling me I need to talk to you. And so this lady said, well, I'd like to pray for you. She said, I don't know what you mean by that. She said, I've never had anybody pray for me. She said, but I really feel like we need to talk. Something inside of my head keeps telling me to talk to you. And so we just had a lot of beautiful experiences like that where God, when you're standing in a country where they've tried to smother out all traces of God, and you see people getting the Holy Ghost by the droves, you begin to realize who really reigns and rules. Hallelujah. And I promise you, you don't know, we don't have a good awareness of the privilege it is to be in church this morning. The privilege it is to be in church this morning. The privilege to not only read a Bible, experience the Bible. And friend of mine, you should run at 100 miles per hour from anybody who would ever try to take your Bible away or take your experience away. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. Praise God. Book of John chapter 3. And we'll begin reading at verse number 1. Say amen when you got it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Everyone say, see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. Everyone say, enter. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is, that which is born of the Spirit is. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone, say everyone, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And I want to just preach to you this morning on John chapter 3. Amen. We're just going to preach out of John chapter 3 for a few minutes here and believe God to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. I'd like to see somebody get baptized this morning. I'd like to see somebody's life revolutionized. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word and your power. God, I pray that you would bless us this morning. Bless every visitor. Bless every saint. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Let's give God one more hand clap of praise before we're seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. Amen. This morning we are reading out of the third chapter of John's Gospel. Now I want to unpackage some of the content of this third chapter, because this third chapter is delivered in a very prepackaged format to most people. When you say John chapter 3, just about anybody's mind who is familiar with the Bible to some degree races down to 16. The verse that tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And when you do that, you miss one of the most vital messages of the Bible. Because as wonderful, as beautiful, as eternally true as John chapter 3:16 is, the first several chapters of John, 1 through 10, we'll say, tell us, amen, what God is willing to do about that love. Amen. Now, the powerful thing about these chapters, these verses we just read, is that if you're not careful, you will miss the fact that it is Jesus's final analysis about humanity. Right. Humans have beliefs about God. We call this theology. But here in John chapter 3, you are reading about Jesus's beliefs about humanity. This is what the Bible would call the doctrine of Christ. This is not a doctrine about Jesus. This is Jesus revealing his doctrine. This is Jesus telling us what he thinks about humanity. And his final analysis about humanity is that it must be born again. He does not care what color it is. It must be born again. He does not care its social or economic background. It must be born again. He does not care from what family it comes from. It must be born again. He does not care what sorority you're from. You must be born again. He does not care whether you are, amen, a good person, quote unquote, or a bad person, quote unquote. You must be born again. Somebody shout amen. Amen. I remember driving down the street the other day there in California where I live, and I saw a bumper sticker that both made me mad and made me want to give them a little bump. Amen. And it simply read, "My first birth was just fine. Thank you." Now, that is the problem with flesh. When it is found out, when flesh gets put on the spot and it is identified as the culprit, it will try to turn the narrative around and posture as the cure. Amen. Flesh is doing this all the time. When flesh gets found out, amen, it tries to turn it around and divert your attention from it. These days you got fat-free milk. My goodness, we got lactose-free milk. If you got a problem with milk, stop drinking milk. Flesh, we got alcohol-free beer. We got nicotine-free cigarettes. We got fat-free everything. And even nowadays, we're trying to have war without casualties. The solution is to not have war. The solution is to put away the milk. The solution is to get delivered from smoking. Amen. When you figure out who the culprit is, you got to get rid of it. Cancer doesn't heal cancer. The flu don't heal the flu. Diabetes does not heal diabetes. Flesh does not heal flesh. Flesh does not resolve the problems of flesh. There ain't no flesh-free flesh around here. Flesh is the culprit. God is the cure. You must be born again of water and of the Spirit. Come on, somebody help me preach this morning. I could feel some flesh in here, amen, that thinks that it is the solution to its problems. Jesus lets us know in very clear terms, you need something, amen, outside of yourself, greater than yourself, something that comes from heaven, amen. The answer is not in you. The answer is in Jesus Christ. Don't try to be the solution to your problem, amen. Redefine, amen, your problem and redefine your solution, and then set your eyes on Jesus, and you will find out that God is the answer to all your problems. Amen. The book of Romans tells us to mortify your members. And then it says how? It says through the Spirit. Amen. It is the Spirit of God that helps us to overcome, amen, the nastiness of our members, the ugliness of our flesh, the twistedness and the wickedness of our minds. When God fills you with His Spirit, friend, you will get a secondary form of wisdom and a secondary form of intelligence that is not original with you. It is not native to you or to your condition. It comes from heaven up above. Amen. How I love the verse where Jesus prays in Matthew 6 and 9, and He says, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And it's so easy to miss the significance of Jesus letting us know where the Spirit of God is. It is in heaven. And brother, one thing I know is the higher you go up, the better your visual is of everything. Amen. And not only is your visual better, everything is so little. Things that are so big to us are so little to God. And God's view from heaven about you and your life and where you need to go and what you need to do is so much better. I guarantee you right now, somebody at a 10-story building right now sees Birmingham a lot better than we do in this 1-story building. And when you talk about God, honey, if you are lost and not knowing what to do in your life, there is a Father in heaven, amen, that can lead you and guide you and tell you. I'm telling you, there's nothing like having God in your life. There's nothing like having a God who can scan the whole of your existence and tell you, go here, don't go there, don't marry her, don't marry him, amen, invest here, opt out of that, amen. And somebody shout amen. Amen. Jesus tells us that you must be born again of water. Everyone say water. Water. And of spirit. Everyone say spirit. Spirit. You must be. You must be. Jesus here is talking about baptism. Jesus here is talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Throughout the whole Bible, it is emphasized to us in one way or another that water and spirit is the deliverance of mankind. Water and spirit is the deliverance of mankind. It is the plan of salvation for mankind. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, one of my favorite chapters, is where God begins to talk to Noah about the flood. And in two chapters, over 17 times, you will find one phrase, and it simply says, "And the waters prevailed." And the waters prevailed. And the waters prevailed. And the waters prevailed. What did the waters prevail over? All the evil, all the nastiness, all the ugliness. Friend, I want you to know the waters of baptism, they prevail. Whatever your ill is, whatever your problem is, these waters prevail. They will go over the highest tips of the mountains. There is nothing more powerful, nothing more, amen, amazing than being baptized. Amen. I'm telling you that when I got baptized, I had problems that I was certain would never work themselves out. Now, let me just stop here because some of the saints have gone into a lower gear here on me, thinking I'm just preaching to visitors. Friend, let me tell you, these waters prevail from the day you get baptized to the day we bury you in the grave. These waters prevail over death. Amen. This is why when you're in church and a loved one dies, we don't need to talk about, I lost my mother, I lost my husband, I lost my daddy. We didn't lose anybody. We know exactly where they're at. When you are saved, you are saved. You were lost, now you're found. And when you die, you are not lost. You are just relocated. Amen. These waters prevail. They prevail over death. When you resurrect and you go to heaven, those waters prevailed over whatever took your life. Those waters prevailed over death itself. Those waters prevail. Honey, I'm telling you right now, there is nothing like being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These waters prevail. Can I talk to somebody who was baptized years ago and you find yourself struggling in your walk with God? Don't you backslide. Don't you give up. You hold God to his unchanging word and you tell God, these waters prevail. I need these waters to prevail over the insanity in my life. I need these waters to prevail over my broken marriage. I need these waters to prevail over my broken heart. God, I'm sorry that I'm in this mess, but I need these waters to prevail. I need this baptism, amen, to work in my life. God, the day I went down in that water, I became your child. You became my father, and I need you to come down from heaven and help me work this out. I need you to come down from... Oh, hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. I'm feeling mighty good in the house right now. Hallelujah. Let's magnify Jesus. I feel a beautiful spirit of the prevailing waters coming into this place. Come on, let's magnify Jesus. The Holy Ghost is about to fall in this house right now. Jesus. You know, when I came to God, I had several failed attempts at trying to prevail over drug addiction. Is this okay? Do we have time for this? I had several failed attempts, you know, to prevail over drug addiction. And I was raised not believing in God. And so when I started going to church, a lot of it was just trying to appease and placate people. I had mildly good intentions, but they were minimal. I kind of showed up more because you people pressured me and the cookies were good. But overall, I was not interested in the music. And in my church, it was little. There was a lot of elderly people. I had more teeth than all of them put together. I remember sitting in church and people eating chips and drooling on themselves and drinking soda and belching, and it was a mess. But the people who were in charge of me were good at getting me in there week after week. And I will be very honest with you when I tell you that when I got baptized, some of it was just due to pressure. I'm not going to lie to you. I felt a little bit of pressure, and I complied. I capitulated, and fine. I made the mistake, however, of thinking that I was just going to get wet, and it would be over soon. But little did I realize that I was coming under the shadow of God's responsibility. Our Father, which art in heaven. The powerful thing about that verse is he tells us the kind of ear that God listens with. It's the ear of a father. Fathers, parents hear differently than single young people. Single young people are deaf. We don't hear nothing. If you don't believe me, go tell your single young person living off your food at home to take out the garbage. But now fathers hear everything. Fathers hear things that are not said. A father can be 100 miles away from their child and they hear the cries. They have a sense of responsibility. A father and a mother can hear things that are not even articulated in words. A mother, a father, a parent can tell the difference between a cry because the baby's hungry, a cry because the baby's in pain, a cry because it's incredible the ear that parents have. It's amazing. It hears things that are never articulated. It hears audible, non-audible sounds. I cannot even begin to talk to you about the way a parent hears. It is absolutely phenomenal. It is amazing. And Jesus lets us know that when you pray or when you engage in a relationship with God, it is the ear of a father. And I'm so glad that when I got baptized, God began to show me that he had been listening to all my problems, to all my situations, even the things I could not articulate, even my doubts, my fears. He had been in tune to it all. And when I got baptized, even though I was playing around, God moved in into my life and showed me, I'm not playing around. You've never talked to anybody about your depression, but I hear your cries. You've never talked to anybody about how much you want to get off these drugs, but I hear what you're saying. I hear your needs. You've never talked to anybody about what you need, but I hear what you need. Can I tell you that when I got baptized, I could not shake drugs. I could not shake depression. I had been to psychologists. I had been to therapists. I had done the whole gamut. Nothing. And then I went off and started pleasing you people. And I got baptized. I didn't even get the Holy Ghost. I just got in the water. And brother, can I tell you that God began to show me, I will take care of you now. You are now my responsibility. The saints baptized you and dropped you back off at your house, but now I will be at home here with you. And I remember the day. I didn't even know what I was shocked when I was doing it. I remember the day I went and grabbed my bag of drugs and I started flushing it down the toilet. And I remember thinking, that's a lot of money. What am I doing? That is not good. And I remember flushing the toilet and thinking, what is wrong with me? I remember sitting there watching it go down the toilet thinking I could have sold that and paid a tithe on it or something. But I remember that was the day I began to realize I am under the influence, not of drugs, not of alcohol, but under my Father, under an all-powerful God. And the waters were prevailing. They were prevailing. Things I couldn't do. Oh, God, help me. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, let's magnify God. I feel water prevailing right now. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I want every hand lifted up. Let's pray right now. Jesus. 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 Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now in such a beautiful way. Oh, God. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Somebody shout, Jesus. The waters prevailed. You see the flood. The ark lands. And what happens? The Bible says that God sent a strong wind. Amen. To push back the waters. We have water. We have spirit. In the Bible, there's always water and spirit. The children of Israel crossed through the Red Sea and the spirit manifests itself. like a pillar of fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Everywhere you read in your Bible, amen, where there are types and foreshadows of the new birth and the answer for mankind, it is always a water spirit combination. Even Jesus himself, when he was baptized, I find it amazing that anybody that would have a Christian label of any kind over their church would say that baptism is not essential. If the Lamb of God that has no sin was baptized, where in the world does that put us? I think you would have to be a knucklehead of the first degree, amen, to assume that Jesus Christ was not trying to model to us, amen, what we need to do in order to enter into that sonship with God. You got to go down. The Bible says Jesus went down. Everyone say down. The Bible says Jesus went down into the water. Amen. He was not sprinkled, honey. He went down into the water. And he was not sprinkled. He was not doused. Amen. He went down into the water. And when he came up out of the water, amen, the Bible says that the Spirit of God descended upon him. Amen. Wherever that water is, you can rest assured there's going to come a fire from heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Ah, come on, somebody. Ah, there's nothing like getting under the water and coming up to the Spirit. There's nothing like being born again of the water and then being born again of the Spirit. It does things. It works things out. Amen. It saves. It empowers. It liberates. It strengthens. It straightens. Hallelujah. I need somebody to help me preach right now. I know this is elementary to some people, but this is good stuff. Come on, let's magnify Jesus. Someone's going to get the Holy Ghost this morning. Oh, come on. There are, as you might have noticed, there are a few rather unique aspects of every Pentecostal service. But when you start talking about being born again of the Spirit, that's where things get a little touchy. Because it is going to require, demand, a certain behavior out of us. If you think you're going to get the Holy Ghost sitting there like gum on the pew, you're wrong. You're just wrong. I love you, but you're wrong. I think we miss the force with what Jesus is talking with here. Because we read it so much, I think we fail to realize that what he's saying is actually pretty rough. Because number one, for you to tell me I have to be born again, well, implying there's something wrong with me. And number two, not only is there something wrong with me, a lot of what's wrong with me isn't my fault because I didn't ask to be born. Do you understand that there are certain bad things about you that actually do relate to your society? Yeah. So there's ignorant stuff you do as the result of living under certain human ignorances. I don't believe that we are a product of our environment, but I do believe that our environment produces certain behaviors in us. Period. Period. You cannot escape that. You are not going to swim and not get wet. And then, so it's not my fault what society I'm born into. It's not like when you're in heaven as a baby, God says, what country would you like to live in? What state, please? And not only that, I didn't even get to choose what family I was born into. Because God knows a lot of us might have chosen a few different kinfolk. You don't get to choose your state. You don't get to choose your family. You don't get to choose your color. You don't get to choose your language. You don't get to, all this stuff. All this stuff that actually influences our behavior. We don't even get to choose. So for Jesus to tell me, you need to be born again, it's kind of like, well, wait a minute. But what Jesus is actually doing is empowering you and telling you that you can be born again. While you are not responsible for a lot of the stuff that's come into your life via your first birth, you are totally responsible for being able to choose a second birth. And you will now be born. You get to choose whether you are born again into the country of God. You get to choose your new family. You get to choose your father. It's a choice thing, baby. You get to choose. You. Come on, it's a choice. It's a choice. I cannot. You know, I'm a pretty charismatic guy. Okay, I'm a talker. I could probably talk everybody in this crowd, just about, with the exception of a few people, into coming to the front and praying. You know, that's fine. But that's all human. That's just tactics. That's just talk tactics. There's nothing more beautiful than you, your own self, saying, you know what? I have a choice. I'm going to make that choice right now. I'm going to come out of this pew, not because my wife is coming, not because my kids are staring at me, not because everyone else is doing it. I'm doing this because I want to choose. God gave me the power of choice. And so I am going to choose this time the family I'm going to be born into. I'm going to choose my citizenship. I'm going to choose my parents. I'm going to choose to be born again. And can I tell you that this birth affects your behavior too? This citizenship affects your behavior too. And this father affects your behavior too. But it affects it for the good, for the positive. Come on, somebody. When you get the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues. You will speak in tongues. Thank you. You will speak in tongues. Thank you. You will speak in tongues. This is what will happen. You will speak in tongues. You will speak in other tongues. Every time. Jesus likened the baptism of the Spirit to wind that blows. And he says, you hear the sound. You hear the sound. The baptism of the Spirit has a sound to it. It's the sound that comes out of heaven. You don't know where it comes from, but you can hear the sound thereof. When you get the honey, if there wasn't a sound that accompanied your new birth, you were not born again. There's got to be a sound. What is that sound? That sound is speaking in other tongues. The Bible says that when the apostles were in the upper room, suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and it blowed into the house where they were all sitting. I'm telling you, when you are born again of the Spirit, there will be a blowing wind, and it will make a sound, just like when wind blows through trees, those leaves begin to clap, just like when wind blows through things, it shakes, rattles, and rolls. When the wind of God blows through your soul, there's going to be a shaking, there's going to be a rattling, there's going to be a clapping, there's going to be a tongue talking. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Come on. It's real. It's real. It is real. Come on. Let's magnify Jesus here for just a few seconds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jermaine. Now, I have to be honest with you. Look at your neighbor and say, the preacher's going to be honest. I got to be honest. Is this okay? Are you guys tired?
No.
I got to be honest. I actually feel really good right now. So let's be honest. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to lift your hands. You could probably get it without your hands lifted up, but it's a good idea to lift your hands. And you know, lifting your hands means two things. If you're a criminal, which we all are, but Brother Prado, I've never broken a law. No, it's Brother Prado, I've never broken a civil law. But everybody has broken a moral law. The Bible says all men have sinned. Even atheists have enough sense to argue against God by saying, why is there so much evil in the world? I'll tell you why there's so much evil in the world. Because in part, we're criminals. Do you understand? You can lie to your wife all day. There is no civil law that can tell you not to do that. You can fantasize of all the filth, trash, smut you want, and there's no judge that can take you to court for that. You could be dishonest swindler. You can borrow money. You could do all kinds of crazy stuff without ever landing in court that most courts would consider laughable, except the highest court. Do we have time for this? Be honest. Or don't be a criminal. Listen. My dad is a scientist, a biophysicist. He works for the United Nations. He travels all around the world. And some months ago, we had a conversation about God. And I asked my dad, I said, do you believe in God? He said, absolutely. He said, I don't believe he runs around in your church or anything, but yes, I believe he's real. And he said this. He said, if I were to take a glass of water and put it upside down, he said, 100 times out of 100, that water would go down, never up. Right? You put a glass of water upside down, that water goes down. It never goes up. And he says, that is a law. No human validates, affirms, or makes that possible. That's not a human construct. That is something embedded into creation. He said, and laws don't invent themselves. Stop signs don't just grow out of the ground. The stop sign is not the evolutionary process of millions of years, and then as a result, it also birthed courts and traffic court and traffic school that you can do in a day. Those are all laws created by intelligent beings, cognizant, operative, animated humanity. And the laws that are embedded in nature, you don't think there's a law embedded into creation? Go jump off a building. There is a consequence to you jumping off a building. You could twist you without any document. Without any document.
Can I borrow your keys?
What are these for? Well, what are keys for? I could use these keys for a million different things. Right? I could probably even take a screw out. And you know, I could perform all kinds of technological rebellion with these keys. I mean, I could do whatever I want with these keys. I could stick them in things, break things, crack things, scratch my ex-girlfriend's car. I mean, I could. But the more I use these keys for something they were never created for, there's a consequence. They get ruined beyond repair. They get damaged. You can do whatever you want with your body, but there is a consequence to that rebellion. You are created with a law. The law in my body, all I got to do is look in the mirror and know I am meant to be with a woman, not another man. I could go out. I know it's going to get tight, and I know the kids are here, but the kids need to hear this anyways. You could do whatever you want with your body, but your body is designed. Listen, I know there's kids here, and I know this might sound bad. I am sorry, Pastor Son. I may get a rebuke now. Kids might need counseling before they get married, but on the honeymoon, you don't need counseling. And if you need counseling, then you need counseling. Because your body, there's a message just in your body that tells you, man, woman, yeah, there is no message that says man, man. There is no message that says woman, woman. There is no message. There is no message. There is no law. There is no signal. There is no code. I'm being very honest with you. I was about 7 years old. I asked my dad one time, I said, Dad, you know, I want you to feel comfortable with this. There comes a point where everybody wonders about their sexuality. Okay? And don't let somebody who has their sexuality twisted tell you that you're wondering is because you are sexually disturbed. Okay, there was a time when I was very young, I questioned, I wondered about my sexuality, about my sexual purpose. Listen, everything's created with a purpose, everything. Shoes are created with a purpose of going on your feet. Nothing comes out of the realm of ideas and into the physical world without a purpose. That's like saying that a train came out of nowhere and landed in Alabama. That doesn't happen. Everything has a beginning point and a destination. All right? And I remember being very young and asking my dad, Dad, is it okay for men to like men? And my dad didn't get into the morals of it. He simply said, Son, if it was, you would be able to get pregnant. Now listen, I'll tell you what's happening right now. There are a very small hand group of people that feel that I'm actually bantering and being bigoted. Okay? And whatever your struggle is in life, I'm not making fun of it. I'm not downgrading you. Now listen to me good. The other thing I don't need in this service right now, it's going to get really tight in here. But I got a job to do. I came with a purpose. The other thing we don't need in this service is for anybody to feel that they are the guardian of somebody else. And a lot of times, my biggest issue with trying to pull people out of a certain lifestyle are the people that want to surround this person and say, leave them alone. Don't, you know, they've suffered enough. They've abused. Listen, you hear this chubby, rather good-looking preacher out. You protecting somebody's issue, you are actually causing more harm than anybody that's ever made fun of them. And nature teaches us that. I'm preaching to some women right now, and I need the ladies to help me. If your pastor decides that he wants to have a talk with your son, you need to let him do it. You need to let him do it. If a good woman in this church or your pastor's wife decides that she needs to talk with your daughter, you need to let her do it. Because you hear this good-looking chubby preacher out, there will be a day where you will wish they would have interrupted and spoke and intercepted. And for you to buck up, bow up, and fight, you are on the wrong team. You got to get on the right team and say, you know what? We have an issue here that is not maybe against the law, but it is against nature. And we've got to talk this out because I love you as much as it hurts. You know, if somebody had their arm broke, you wouldn't say, I'm not taking you to the hospital because the doctor's going to straighten that thing out and it's going to hurt. Amen. 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 Amen.
Listen, friend. Listen. Everybody has their struggles. Everybody has their struggles. I'm not putting one sin up here and another sin down there and another sin. I'm not compartmentalizing, categorizing, and then, you know, creating this, you know, this taxonomy of sin. I'm telling you right now, everybody has their struggles. I will chide a fornicator just as much as I would anything else. But you listen, whatever your struggles are, whatever your struggle is, whatever your battle is, if it is destroying you, if you can clearly see the cause and the effect, and the effect always reflects the cause, if your relationships that you are engaging in, whether they be heterosexual or homosexual, whatever, if it is destroying you, if it is depleting your happiness, destroying your health, destroying your mind, if you are crazier today than you were before you slept with that person, you need to hit the altar and you need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit, and ask God to deliver you from you. Somebody help me preach right now. I know it's getting tense and tight. This is good. I'm being fair. I'm being, come on. I want every hand lifted up for about 5 seconds. Let's pray. There's a beautiful spirit in here. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Come on, don't let the culprit try to turn into the cure. Don't let the culprit tell you, we'll just go to a church where this is accepted. The culprit cannot be the cure. The culprit cannot be the cure. The culprit cannot be the cure. Listen, when you get the Holy Ghost, you will speak in other tongues. God. Okay, here we go. I'm going to close here. You've been a great audience. What are the consequences of not being born again? Listen, pause. Small commercial break. When you come up here to pray today, don't pray under the weight of your sin. Cry. Repent. You know, I tell people in Spanish, I say, you could cry, llores, pero no chilles. Right? Cry, but don't whine. Don't come up here and whine. If you feel remorse about what you've done, tell God, pony up, man up, girl up, and just be like, I'm sorry. This is garbage. My bad. And then lift your hands with confidence and assurance that God is real. He loves you. He is your Father. He's welcoming you home. He's not rejecting you. He's not against you. He is on your side, and He has your best intentions in mind. Come on, come on, come on. Don't feel condemned. Push all that out, raise those hands up, and surrender. Amen. Say yes. Right. Somebody shout yes.
Yes.
Here are the consequences, because we have to talk about the consequences before I finish. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Jesus tells us that, but then Jesus tells us, what are the consequences? What if I choose not? The consequences are twofold. Number one, you will not see the kingdom of God. Now, truth be told, you actually will see it. But you're going to see it because no throne sits outside of a palace. God's going to judge the world from His throne, but thrones are not outside the palace, they're inside the palace. So you will see heaven, but what you will be seeing is what you're not going into. you are going to see the consequences of your choice. You will see heaven. You're just not going in. But on a different layer of that verse, what Jesus is saying, kingdom is just another word for government. And so Jesus says, you will not see the government of God. You will sit in a church service and you will not see, you will not perceive, you will not understand why people do what they do. You do not understand Christianity from the outside in. So, and this is why some people laugh. They're like, oh yeah, you're going to pray to the invisible God out, and, you know, and you're doing all these things to this invisible being. But funny how nobody wakes up and says, oh, you're going to try to breathe all that invisible air. No teacher ever laughs at her students. Look at all those invisible ideas you believe in.
Right. That's right.
There's a lot of invisible stuff that has a significant power over our lives. Amen. Gravity?
Yeah.
Anybody heard of this? Can somebody show me gravity? No. I can only show you its effects. Statistics tell me that neither this pastor here, nor I, nor many of the congregants of the church should even be here. Statistics tell us that so many of these people here should have never got off drugs, shouldn't be in a marriage, shouldn't... There's even some statistics here that say, you should have never got healed of cancer, you should have never gave birth to one kid, let alone two, you should have never got delivered from drugs, but we see an invisible force... Not in its shape and its form, but in its manifestation. We see people healed. We see people delivered. We see it. Everyone say a big chunk. Everyone say a huge chunk. There is a mammoth chunk of all this here that you will not see if you are not born again. I know what it is to sit in a pew and think everybody, including Do With The Mic, is crazy. And that lady shaking up there, Nita, sit down. She's scaring my kids. I know. Why? Because I had not been born again of water or spirit. And so when you are not born again of water or spirit, not only can you not see those things are hidden from you. You read your Bible, the kingdom of God is always hidden. It's hidden like a coin in a woman's house. It's hidden like three measures of meal. It's hidden like a seed under the ground. It's hidden in heaven. The kingdom of God is hidden. And you know who it's hidden from? Arrogant, pompous, obstinate human beings. The gatekeepers of the kingdom are humility and honesty and truthfulness. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. If you're coming up in here talking about show me, and I wish my wife would just leave me alone with all this church business, why don't you turn your attitude around and say, God Almighty, I don't know if you're real, but if you are, help my unbelief. I lift my hands to you, Lord Jesus. I ain't got nothing to lose, everything to gain. I want to feel your power. I want to feel your grace. Oh, Jesus. Come on. And can I tell you, God will answer. And can I tell you, you'll begin to see things you ain't never seen. You'll begin to perceive things you've never perceived. You'll understand why people come to church 3, 4, 5 days a week. You'll understand what all the dancing's about. You'll understand what all the giving is about. You'll understand what all the holding of the hands is about. The praying is about. You'll understand what the preaching... Oh. Come on. Not only will you not see, therefore thereby perceive, you will not enter into the government. Do you know what government you're a part of matters? Let me tell you, when I was in Cuba, I had my visa chained with locks around my neck. You would have had to throw down with Chubby to get my visa out of my hands. I was holding on to that thing like food. I had it rubber band, hidden. As part of this government, I am entitled to certain things. My government backs me up. I don't know about now, but... But when you have that passport that declares what government you're a part of, when you have that passport that declares what part, you know. When you get into the government of God, all of a sudden you have certain rights, you have certain benefits, you have certain privileges, and you can walk through any other kingdom. You can walk through the kingdom of darkness. There are certain laws that apply, and you have the backing of a government. You have somebody that'll come rescue you. You have somebody that'll come fight for you. You have somebody that got your back. Not just, no wonder the prophet said, there be more with us than be with them. This is why the Bible says that angels rejoice in heaven. You are part of a government. Come on, somebody. I want to be part of God's government. The government with no end. Pastor Sutton and I were talking. And I'm not kidding. Look, you want to know something?
I'm not sure you do.
I keep saying I'm almost done. I promise you. I grew up, my mother is a communist. Full blown, full hog. She won't live there. She won't live in a communist. I grew up all over my mother has a picture on her refrigerator, a magnet picture of Mao Zedong. And that is not a dish at the Chinese restaurant. Mao Zedong is a man who's murdered millions. We will never know how many Chinese people Mao Zedong has killed in order to enforce communism. If you walked into my mother's house right now, there's pictures of Fidel Castro and Che Guevara everywhere. I went to Cuba. And let me tell you, every Cuban there is ready for the end of that government. I have to be honest with you. We as Americans will get to the point where we are ready for the end of this government. Because human governments deteriorate. They decline. They get bigger. They get more aggressive. But the Bible says that the kingdom of God has no end. It's stable. It's stable. It's stable. It's been stable since the day Adam came off the ground. That's why, where are the Romans? Where are the Persians? Where are the Egyptians? Where are they? They're all dead and gone. But the kingdom of God is alive and well. It is. Come on. This is, I'm almost done. This is why when Jesus came and he started healing people. Amen. And he would say, the kingdom of God is at hand. He'd start healing people because the kingdom of nature, the kingdom of men, the kingdom of all these different kingdoms, the animal kingdom, the nature kingdom, all these kingdoms were causing disease and sickness. People were dying. This was not their fault. This was the result of a kingdom that's earth-based. It's here. And Jesus Christ came with the authority of the most powerful kingdom of all. And he would tell them, get up and walk. I don't care what the kingdom of time says. That kingdom of time says it's going to take 6 months for that bone to be healed. My kingdom says now, get up and walk. Kingdom of nature says tumors don't fall off. Kingdom of Jesus says, be thou healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's the most powerful kingdom there is. It's the most powerful kingdom there is. It's the most... Kingdom of man says, there's a famine, you're all going to die. Kingdom of God says, I'll come in the middle of that and I'll stir the economy of your home. I'll make oil come out of vessels, bread out of nowhere. I got a great... And it's the kingdom without end. Oh, hallelujah. So, I am offering people here today a dual citizenship. A dual citizenship. A dual citizenship. You can salute the flag or whatever, sing the Star Spangled Banner. But there's somebody willing to receive you as a citizen of their kingdom. And when this kingdom topples, because it's man, it's a man kingdom, it's going to topple. I love it, it's going to topple. You will be received to a glorious kingdom. This is why the Bible says the streets are made of gold, because gold is one of those things that no matter how much time passes, it never loses its value. It's steady. The floors of heaven are steady. No flux, no change, always priceless, always priceless. Steady economy. Steady blessing. That's why in heaven there is no day. There's not even a flux in days or seasons. The Lamb is the light. Yeah. Not even days change. It's a good day every day. I feel good right now. I feel good right now. There's not even time in heaven. Hours don't change. Nothing changes. Let's all stand. I'm going to keep my promise. Let's all stand. Musicians, I need musicians. Something beautiful is about to happen right now. I am actually 110% prepared for only one person coming up here. In fact, I kind of really don't even want the saints to come up here because New Life is so great. Everybody always wants to pray. But unless you're coming with somebody, I really want you to stay in your seat and participate in receiving new inductees into this kingdom. You know, I'm Latino, in case I haven't said this 1,000 times. And when you're Latino and you're allowed to be a U.S. citizen, you got to go to the immigration center, you go into a little room, and they make you pledge allegiance. You put your hand over your heart, raise your hand. And you know, nobody bucks up on that. I've seen Hispanics yell in broken English. I'm telling you, this is one of those kinds of deals. You're going to come up, you're going to lift that hand, you're going to pledge that heart, that allegiance. The kingdom of the Johnsons says it's okay to be a fornicator, an adulterer, a crackhead. This new kingdom, I'm pledging allegiance to it. The kingdom of men says it's okay to be a liar, a cheat, a steal. It's legal as long as you don't get caught. But I'm pledging allegiance today to a new kingdom and a new king. All right. He is the King of Kings. Yes. And so you're going to have to raise a hand. And you're going to have to raise a voice. You will have to declare Christ Lord. And when you do, He will declare you His. And there will be a new birth, and the Spirit of God will blow through your soul, and there will be a sound. There will be a sound. There will be a sound. Here we go. For about 3 seconds, I want the whole church family to raise their hands. Do you feel a good spirit in here? I do. If you feel a beautiful spirit of evangelism, I feel angels in this house. Just for about 5 seconds, let's lift our hands and absorb this beautiful feeling right now. Somebody shout, Jesus! We praise you. We praise you. Musicians, just hold on. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I want you to come up here. I want you to come up here. If you are standing next to somebody who needs it, bring them up here. Thank you, sir. JP, I'd love for you to come up here. Let me pray for you one more time. If that's all right, maybe your wife can hold the baby for you. How many people believe God wants to bless JP? I love JP. Come on, it's kingdom time, baby. JP, right? Not PJ. I just want to call you PJ. I got a good friend named PJ. I'm waiting. Estoy esperando. Si usted nunca ha hablado en lenguas, usted debe de venir acá adelante y recibir el reino de Dios en su corazón. Si usted está parado al lado de alguien que no tiene el Espíritu Santo, I'm Latino in case you don't. I'm being silly, but I'm not going to waste too much time because I'm actually trying to create time for somebody who needs to get up here. Come on. I'm not going to give you much time. I am not marketing the kingdom of God here. So if you choose to stay in your seat, we have discussed the fact that there are consequences. And that's not, I'm not giving you a hard sell here either. But I am telling you, don't sit there and trust and all kinds of other stuff to save you. It won't happen. Don't sit there and trust in your religious experiences. I'm not here to rob you of any of your religious experiences. There are people here, you've probably had some very profound things happen in your life. You've probably never even been a bad person. But I'm telling you, you must be born again. And I, contrary to what your brain is telling you, I'm not here to rob you of your experiences. I'm here to build on top of them. And I hope that you are humble enough to know that God's got more for you. Sir, do you have the Holy Ghost? You ever spoken tongues? What is your name? Chris? Can I pray for you? Chris, come on up. Chris, God is really talking to your heart right now. Come up with Chris. Chris, listen. I try not to do that to people, but I can tell God's really touching your heart, Chris. You got a really tender heart. And I want to work with your heart. You got a tender heart, Chris. And today's a good day. Today's a great day for you, Chris. Amen. Hallelujah. That's it. You are welcome to come up after we are done praying, but I suggest you come now. You got the Holy Ghost, bro? Yeah. You ever spoken tongues? You have? Has it been a while? How long? Come on up. Can I pray for you? You got a tender heart. I need one. Reggie, help us come pray. God's going to renew you in the Holy Ghost right now. God's going to renew you. We're going to pray. We're going to renew the Holy Ghost. And God's going to do some good things in your life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all ready? Everybody ready? You still got like 3 seconds to come up. I want everybody to raise their hands like this. You still have time. I want you guys to do as I tell you. Don't do more. Don't do less. Open up your hands. Lift up your arms. Close your eyes. And together, all across this congregation, and those of you here in the front, we are going to pray. I want you to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins, of everything I've ever seen, I've ever said, and I've ever done that's against your word and that's against your will. Jesus, forgive me for everyone I've ever hurt. Jesus, forgive me for hurting myself. Jesus, fill me with your spirit, speaking in tongues, just like the Bible says. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now give God a hand praise. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everyone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is God's favorite word. On the count of three, I want you to raise your hands, open them nice and wide, put your head up to heaven, and I want you to begin to shout hallelujah with all your heart. Don't stop saying it. As you begin to say hallelujah, you're going to feel like you can't say it anymore, and your tongue's going to loose. That's it, JP. You're already getting it. And you're going to begin to speak in other tongues. One, two, close your eyes, put your head up to heaven, and shout hallelujah. Three.
Somebody needs to catch on fire.
Catch on fire. Catch on fire.
Well, somebody needs to.
There it is. There it is, Chris. There it is, JP. You got it. You got it. You got it, JP.
Somebody needs to.
Catch on fire. Catch on fire.
JP just got the Holy Ghost.
Yeah,
no. Catch on fire.
Well, I really need to
catch on fire. Catch on fire. Catch on fire.
I really
Right now. Hallelujah.
I really need to
get on fire.
Burning with the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, catch on fire.
Woo!
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire.
Holy Ghost fire.
Holy Ghost fire.
Holy Ghost fire.
Holy Ghost fire.
Well, I really need to.
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire.
Catch on fire.